If you would turn now to Leviticus, chapter 19. Reading verses 9 through 18. That can be found on page 97 in the Pew Bible. And if you would hold your place there and turn also to Ruth. Ruth chapter 2. Beginning on page 221. Ruth chapter 2, sorry, page 222. Ruth chapter 2. This is the word of the Lord. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread, and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her, and also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Throughout Scripture, the kingdom of God, the dwelling place of God with man, throughout Scripture it is revealed as a garden. The first temple was a garden temple. Adam was placed in the garden of God as its royal priest. And Israel, the people of God, Israel was placed in the land of promise, in the vineyard of the Lord, as a kingdom of priests. Life in the kingdom of God, it is revealed as life in a fruitful garden, life in a fruitful vineyard. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 4. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of mountains, and peoples shall flow to it. They shall sit, every man, under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. Life in the kingdom of God is life in a fruitful garden, life in a fruitful vineyard. It is a life of rest. It is a life of peace. It is a life of plenty. It is a life of joy. Leviticus chapter 19. It concerns life in the kingdom of God. It concerns life in the presence of God. It concerns what is required for the people of God to dwell with Him. It concerns the holiness to which they are called before Him. In the Old Testament, the land of Canaan, the land of promise, it was the land of the Lord. It was the place in which He chose to dwell with His people. And the people's life in that land, it was to reflect life in the kingdom of God. It was to reflect life in a fruitful garden, in a fruitful vineyard. It was to be a life of rest, a life of peace, a life of plenty, a life of joy. In the Old Testament, the kingdom under Solomon was the climax of this revelation. What do we read in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 25? And Judah and Israel lived in safety from Dan even to Beersheba, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, all the days of Solomon. The hope of God's people enjoyed in the days of Solomon. Life in the kingdom of God, life in a fruitful garden, a life of rest, a life of peace. The gardens and vineyards of the Old Testament, they were a reflection of the kingdom of God in glory. But they were only a reflection. Even the kingdom under Solomon, with all its glory, with all its plenty, with all its joy, even the kingdom under Solomon was only a reflection of the kingdom of God and glory, a mere shadow of the better things to come. And one way in which we are reminded of this truth, that the gardens and vineyards of the Old Testament were only reflections and shadows of a greater glory, of a greater kingdom. One way in which we are reminded of this truth was the presence of the poor in the land. The presence of the poor in the land and the presence of sojourners in the land. There will be no poverty in glory. There will be no poor among you in glory. In glory, there will only be the enjoyment of the riches of God's glorious inheritance. There will be no need in glory. There will be no want in glory. There will be no poverty in glory. And there will be no sojourning in glory. There will be no strangers in glory. There will be neither stranger nor sojourner, but only fellow citizens. Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. The presence of the poor and the sojourner in Leviticus chapter 19, they remind us that life in the kingdom of glory was still yet to come. But while the life described in Leviticus chapter 19 is not life in the kingdom of glory, it was still life in the kingdom of God. It was a description of life in the kingdom of God, a description of the way in which the life of the kingdom of God manifests itself in the hope of glory, which is a complicated way of saying this. Leviticus chapter 19 and the life described in Leviticus chapter 19, it is to be your life as well. The life of Leviticus chapter 19, it is the life of God's people living in His kingdom in the hope of its glory. It is the life of the church in this world as she awaits the world to come. It is the way in which the holiness of God's kingdom is to manifest itself among you. It is the way in which the peace of God's kingdom is to manifest itself among you. And how might that be? Through your love. Through your love. Not through your strife. Through your love. Through loving your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is a command. A command second only to the greatest, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. It is the ethic of the kingdom of God. And so it is the ethic of the church of God. One that will not pass away. One that abides forever. Faith will pass away. Hope will pass away. But love abides. Life in the kingdom of glory. It will be a life of perfectly loving God and perfectly loving one another. And the love that will be yours in glory, it is yours now in Christ. The peace that will be yours in glory, it is yours now in Christ. The wholeness that will be yours in glory, it is yours now in Christ. That is why Israel was to care for the poor and for the stranger, to provide for the poor and for the stranger. It was a way of sharing the fruitfulness of God's kingdom. It was a way of sharing the love of God's kingdom. That the needy might taste the wholeness and prosperity of life in God's kingdom. That the stranger might taste the faithfulness of the Lord to his people. That he might taste and see that the Lord is good. Until glory. The poor will always be with you. As long as the church is in this world, there will be poor among you. And God has regard for them. God has regard for them. He is concerned about them. And He has chosen to care for them through His people. He has chosen to provide for them through the generosity of His people. In Leviticus chapter 19, the fruitfulness of the land was not to be hoarded. The fruitfulness of the land was to be shared. When God blessed His people, it was that they might become a blessing to others. This was His promise to Abraham. I will bless you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Israel was to be a blessing to the poor and to the stranger in her midst. She was not to hoard the blessings of the land, but to share it with others, that they might enjoy with her the peace and wholeness of God's kingdom. As they together waited in hope for the day of completion. One of the ways in which God's people were to do this was through the harvesting of their fields and vineyards. The people were not to reap the very edges of their fields. They were not to maximize their profits. They were not to reap the very edges of their fields. They were not to strip bare their vineyards. But they were to leave the edges unharvested. They were to leave grapes on the vine, that the poor, that the sojourner might also be fed by God. That the poor, that the sojourner might also enjoy the blessings of God upon His people. God chose to care for the poor and for the sojourner through His people. And more than this, He identified Himself with the poor and the sojourner, so that what the people did to the poor in their midst, they did to Him. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker. But he who is generous to the needy honors him. What you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me. The Lord identifies himself with the lowliest among you. To look down on them is to look down on the Lord. To neglect them is to rob from the Lord. To show preference to the rich is to despise the Lord. God calls his people to live on less than what he gives them in order that they might share what has been given to them with others. God calls his people to live on less than what he gives them, that you might share what you have been given with others. That you might be a blessing. And do not overlook that it was through the observance of this law that God accomplished your salvation. In the book of Ruth, Boaz leaves his fields and vineyards to be gleaned by the poor and by the sojourner. And Ruth, a sojourner in the land, she gleans the fields of Boaz for her impoverished mother-in-law, Naomi. And through Boaz, God not only provides food for Ruth and Naomi in their need, but he provides a savior for his people in their need. For Boaz, by Ruth, became the father of Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David, from whom the Christ has come. Jesus, who loved you by giving his life for you, that you might have peace with God, that you might inherit the kingdom of God, that you might enjoy life in the presence of God. As you await the coming of his kingdom in glory, you are called to grow in the holiness of that kingdom now, to seek the peace of that kingdom now, to share the love of that kingdom now. Whatever the merits of basing an economy on self-interest, That is not the rule of the church. You do not seek your interest alone. You seek also the interests of others. Their interests are not met by your seeking your own interests. That is not the love of God's kingdom. That is not the love of Christ's church. You do not seek your interest alone. You seek also the interests of others. And not only this, but you consider others more significant than yourself. And so you consider their interests more significant than your own. You consider the lowliest among you more significant than yourself. So you are to ask yourself, how may I use what I've been given to be a blessing to others? How may I use what I've been given to be a blessing to others? How may I share with them what God has shared with me? Christ perfectly kept this commandment for you, that you might keep this commandment in Him. And He doesn't only give you the gleanings. He gives you everything. He gives you the fullness of His kingdom. You who were once strangers, you who were once sojourners, you who are now fellow citizens of God's kingdom, fellow heirs with Christ. Christ obeyed this commandment for you, that you might obey this commandment in Him. Christ redeemed the whole person, body and soul. And so the church ministers to the whole person, body and soul. You have an obligation. You have an obligation to care for those in your midst who cannot care for themselves. The diaconal ministry of the church is an expression of glory. It is an expression of the love and the communion that we will all enjoy in glory. sharing together in the blessings of Christ. Christ has saved you for this reason, to be a blessing. So be a blessing. Be a blessing to others. Be a blessing to the poor. Be a blessing to the stranger. Be holy as the Lord your God is holy. Amen. Let us pray.